Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, we try to bring our English friend back on to record, but he literally can't breathe. We are recording this podcast just at the end of the round of 16 in the World Cup. We just saw England sneak by the skin of their teeth in a great match to advance to the quarterfinals.
Famously bad teeth. Also.
Yeah. England is famous for, you know, I don't know exactly the analogy, but maybe you'd call them the Vikings or something like that of the World Cup. They always find a way to lose. And I mean, this one would just have been an epic loss. They're winning 1-0 the whole game. And in the last second.
By the way, everyone at home is counting. It took 30 seconds for Chester.
No, well, I'm going out of my way now because Amir made a comment. But it was incredible. Like, in the last possible second of stoppage time, they give up a goal, 1-1. They play really lethargic.
It was like 3 minutes left.
Yeah, they play really lethargic through the 2 15-minute overtimes.
Is the word lethargically? Is that a word?
I don't think so. And then they miss the third penalty kick. And at that point, the odds are like, 75% to Colombia? Something like that?
I mean, first of all, the English keeper, Pickford, gave me no confidence. Like, if all 10 field players had shot for Colombia, they all would have scored of their own volition.
But he made one good save. I mean, one of them hit the crossbar, but he had one good save.
He did have a good save. But, if you watch the Denmark-Croatia shootout, Kasper Schmeichel felt like he was 30 feet tall in that goal. It was like, no one is allowed to score. And the Croatian keeper also, and the Russian keeper the day before that. Like, he felt so small, and Ospina's a backup, you know, for Arsenal. Another heartbreaking loss for Arsenal. I think the tournament would have been ruined if England lost. Like, who is going to be excited about Sweden-Colombia? And then who is going to be excited, like, Russia-Croatia? Like, Croatia was basically the favorite after the group stage, but they couldn't breathe after 50 minutes against Denmark. Like, it's one thing to have a game where like, Belgium had, where you just miss a lot of, like, possible goals, but you kind of played well and you could bounce back next game. I don't know how you bounce back from like being out of shape. Croatia just like has no gas left. They're old and they look totally washed up. So one of those four teams has to be in the World Cup finals. England, Sweden, an absolute garbage Russia team, or Croatia that basically every guy on the team I think smokes two packs a day.
But the Russians didn't we say are the oldest team in this tournament?
All three CONCACAF teams were the oldest team in the tournament, and the U.S. would have been substantially older than any team in the tournament had they made it, by the way. Fun fact. The Russians aren't especially young. England is insanely young. Germany was the youngest team. But England, the whole team is like 24, 25. It just feels like the left side of the bracket has the best four teams.
Yeah, but I mean, we said
England
that on last
is, you know,
podcast.
On
That's
par with Uruguay. Well, Spain was on one side. Spain would have been a rifle.
It was Spain, Croatia, and England were the only sort of, you know, top 15 caliber type teams.
England hasn't been exposed. Like, it's not like England. They had no offensive game plan. They had two scoring opportunities all game.
Yeah, it's like after they got
that
penalty, they were just like, all right, we're just going to sit back and win this 1-0. It was not an exciting game. And today was probably the least exciting
day. No, it was a terrible game.
It's been just an incredible tournament.
I fell asleep. Yeah, it's been a great tournament. I fell asleep during Sweden-Switzerland. No joke.
I got into a stupid fight in a WhatsApp group. Where like a bunch of like American trolls were saying, "Oh, soccer's such a boring sport," and I realized, like, it suddenly came to me, like, it's literally the most popular sport on earth.
Your friends,
if you want to think it's boring, think
that.
But
that
why am I wasting my time arguing?
No, you shouldn't be. I feel like you get into a lot of WhatsApp arguments that are like, "This guy keeps saying the
well,
earth
you,
is flat."
Yeah, you tell me every time I tell you about these bad takes that these guys are saying about Kawhi or about soccer. You're like, "Just leave the group. Just leave the group." But you know.
Yeah. I don't know where all these friends of yours come from. People just add you to groups because they know you'll respond to anything. I had a message at noon today, someone saying, "Hey, do you want to come to my house? We're going to project the game and eat wings." And I don't check my phone, and it was on WhatsApp, and I don't even have my WhatsApp messages on because my daughter is part of my WhatsApp messages, and she gets she's in 50 groups. So I didn't check it. So then 5 minutes before the game, I saw the message, and I was like, okay, I'll come now.
Well, so I was watching at work, and I actually went when it went after the goal Colombia scored and it goes to the extras. I'm like, well, I can be social. You know, I can miss work for a few minutes. So I went up to watch in the group room where they're watching, but it was Colombia fans. And so I felt like a troll rooting for England in a room full of Colombia fans. So I went back to my office.
Yeah.
Because these are guys
who
are actually from Colombia.
There's a lot of Colombian people at work.
Yeah, it's a couple guys who are from Colombia. And so their connection is a lot stronger than mine.
Yeah.
To England, so.
Yeah, no, it would be actually rude to root against the other
team. That's borderline racist.
For big jet games, I would never. Not racist. It's just, I mean, why? I guess why? Yeah, you also could have rooted for Colombia. And like deep down, well, inside,
I like Colombia, but you know, but England, you know, I've said I became a soccer fan through my British friends.
It really seemed their whole team lost their minds for a half hour Colombia. Like it was amazing that no one got a red card. It's five
different
guys.
Yeah, I mean, there seemed like I thought for sure someone was going to be sent off the way that game was going. That was like a Steelers. I don't know what kind of historical rivalry those teams have, but they were like.
Yeah, I wondered that out loud. Like, did England Colombia fight a war, and I just don't know about it? The American referee, like, he either did a great job or a terrible job. I'm not sure.
I can tell you, and maybe just because we're watching on Fox, but the announcer must have mentioned 27 times that the ref is from New Jersey. Like, who cares? Oh, wow, we have representation in this World Cup.
The U.S. is really looking for any sort of. All right. That's been talking
that's
World
it, that's
Cup.
All you want?
Before we get.
All right.
I mean, if you have anything else.
Every 5 minutes.
Gun to your head today, who's in the final?
Well, I mean, I already said England. I'm not going to back off from that now.
But England, France, England, Brazil?
I mean, you have to say England, Brazil, probably. Well, I
say France. Croatia.
Odds,
but Brazil's been the best team.
Odds, I would pick France just because I think France is more likely to pass Uruguay than Brazil is to pass Belgium. Although, I mean,
Brazil-Belgium is like a final.
I mean, is it? Because Belgium was so garbage until the last, like, 15 minutes of that game against Japan.
You know what they were, but they Japan scored on one lucky play and one excellent goal
Japan
that no team could defend.
Japan played really, really well. And Japan was aggressive.
They played great.
Aggressive.
They were too aggressive, but yes. Japan wins that
game, right,
like. Japan wins that. Well, listen, Russia isn't aggressive at all, and Switzerland's never aggressive.
And that's why I hate those teams. Like two league favorite teams, yeah.
Yeah, no, Russia is unwatchable. To me, Brazil, Belgium, the thing is Belgium is really an attacking team, and they basically only play three guys in the back, so that's going to be like the most active running game, although anytime you say that, those games end up being like 1-0, but that could be, you know, for sure the game of the tournament. Neither of us can watch it, I don't think.
Why can't I watch Brazil, Belgium?
I think it's on.
It starts
on
at 2 in the afternoon,
well,
my time, my friend.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Well, that's 9 o'clock for me.
Saturday games. I'm going to miss the Saturday games. You're going to miss the Friday games.
Before we get to the NBA, a little quick topic. Williams Astudillo. Do you have any thoughts on Williams A. Stud Astudillo?
Is that the Twins, the 300-pound guy who they play in second center field and second base?
It's like the craziest story in baseball history. So he's like a 5'6", 300-pound guy who's starting in center field for your favorite team.
He's only listed at 225.
Yeah, he's like a short, fat
guy.
He's
never played the outfield before. They start him at center field. And then he's never played the infield before, and they start him at second.
Yeah, he's a catcher who I guess is just like one of these guys. Like you had one on your Little League.
Shockingly, this team has lost like 10 of 11 games. I can't explain it with these kinds of decisions.
But he's the weirdest player in baseball history. He does not hit home runs, really, and he never walks and never strikes out. He puts every single pitch.
He's like Brian Harper.
It's crazy. I mean, he's the most. They say he's the most extreme, like not three true outcomes player, basically in baseball history. He has a little bit of power, but he never strikes out and he never walks.
Yeah. No, I mean he's the kind of guy who's going to carve up minor league pitchers. But yeah, he probably shouldn't be in the majors. Baseball's depressing. I don't really want to talk about baseball. Twins.
So Aaron Gleiman said the other day that the Twins sent out
the worst defensive outfield in the history of baseball.
They had a 300-pound center fielder.
Who had never played outfield before.
They had
Logan
Grossman,
Morrison, who's
like
the worst defensive first baseman in the game, playing a corner. and Robbie Grossman, a DH, who cannot play at all.
So both of our baseball teams.
By the way, this might shock you, but the Cubs scored 14 runs that day. So honestly, if I was a pitcher, I'd refuse to go out there if that's my outfield. Like, what are you doing? You're destroying my ERA here.
Yeah, it's like going out there with a bad offensive line. It's like pulling the Mark Sanchez when they called Mark Sanchez back into the fourth quarter of a preseason game, and they had five guys who were like, you know, stockbrokers who were just like on the like the last guys on the line. And immediately the first play, it's like the Giants are bringing like Jason Pierre-Paul Jr. and he's ending Sanchez's career basically. All right, let's talk about basketball.
Where do we start? Do we start with LeBron? Do we start with Boogie? Like, is it even worth talking about basketball anymore? Do we start with Kawhi?
No, it's not worth it. This should be the last time we ever talk about basketball until
Kawhi, next summer's free agency
gets traded. I mean, here's the deal. I fell asleep last night. I woke up to a Woj bomb, which is the worst way to wake up, usually, unless it's for your a good thing for your team. Woke up to the Woj bomb that
you say woke up, like you woke up in the morning and you saw it, or do you have like some kind of alert on your phone where like you wake up?
That would be funny. By the way, people should do that. I was thinking like
there's people who...
Because he doesn't like tweet about like his coffee in the morning. He only tweets.
No, he does tweet a recap of every episode of a stupid podcast, actually.
Oh, you would have to pay me $1,000 an episode to listen to Woj's podcast. But I do like him. Anyway, and I do like the burgeoning rivalry with Shams. You know, yeah. Shams is really coming for his corner. But anyway, so I fall asleep. It's like 3:30 in the morning. I roll over. I'm like, all right, let me check my phone because I'm addicted to Twitter. I can't go like an hour even in the middle of the night without seeing what's going on. And I see that they signed Boogie Cousins, and I just like got up out of my bed and started like angrily tweeting like a mad person, like the NBA's over.
Yeah,
I wrote that if you like the NBA, like you're a garbage person. I said that like the NFL's better, the NFL is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and the NBA's Donald Trump. I have no idea what I was talking about.
How did I miss all these gold tweets?
Well, I don't know. A lot of them are deleted. Wow. I was 4 in the morning tweets, but it is very frustrating. I did tweet one thing that makes sense, which is like the Jets have 100-1 odds. It's the worst odds of any team to win the Super Bowl.
This is a good tweet.
And they over half the NBA. I said 23 teams, which is an exaggeration, but it should be over 23 teams have worse odds. That like the Jets would be a competitive team compared like all 32 teams in the NFL would probably win the Super Bowl like 1 out of 1,000.
One out of about 150, 200 times. We've seen it happen before.
All 32 teams would win.
The 32nd team in the NBA is more in the NFL. Excuse me, is more likely.
Well, 150 is not
is
that
more
many.
Likely to win the Super Bowl this year than. Yeah. Assuming like they make no changes to the roster, the Timberwolves, who won 47 games, have two of the top 20 players in the league.
Yes, 100%. And so you look at a team like the Timberwolves, who have two borderline all-star starters. I mean, in the East, they would literally have two all-star starters. And they are beyond irrelevant. They're falling apart. I mean, what part of that is they have the worst coach in sports history. But they have two absolute studs in their prime, and they're falling apart. Cat is going to be a free agent in a couple years. Butler, I think, is going to maybe be gone already after this year. He's miserable. How could a team with two elite players, like, you know, they may as well tank. If I'm a Spurs fan, like, why play LaMarcus Aldridge? If the Spurs trade Kawhi... Like why? Just trade Aldridge, or come up with some bogus like David Robinson in 1996.
But it's not why. It's not like a year from now anything's gonna be any different. I mean, even if the Warriors lose,
well, maybe there's a great player in the draft.
Okay, well, let's take a step back. Can we start with LeBron before we jump to Boogie and how the world is ending and stuff?
Yeah, that's okay. Fair. We could start with LeBron.
So let's take things chronologically. So LeBron goes to LA. What's your take on that?
I mean, LeBron, you usually think that there's like some ulterior thing going on that you don't know about. If LeBron was 100% sure that George or Kawhi is going to join him, that's fine. To me, his kid's about to be in high school. He wants to be in Hollywood. Maybe his wife would rather live in Hollywood. But you have to stay in the East. Any team LeBron joins in the East
automatically
is basically, maybe you could say Boston with Kyrie and Hayward next year. But they're automatically in the Eastern Conference Finals before breaking a sweat, put it that way, and probably in the Eastern Finals. Why would you go to the West? Like, okay, so here's my take that no one's going to agree with, but I know is true in the depths of my soul, that if Kawhi comes to the Lakers, they're still the best team in the West. Kawhi and LeBron are the two best players in the NBA. Kawhi and LeBron are the two best players in the NBA.
You could combine every other team in the league, okay, all 29 other teams, and they would be 50-50 against the Warriors.
Yes, it is.
The Warriors have five of the top 16 players in the league, 18 players in the league?
Klay Thompson is not one of the five.
Maybe DeMar DeRozan is slightly better than Klay Thompson. But for that team,
guys gets injured, they don't have any other.
But for that team, all you need is a guy who's gonna hit open threes and play defense, right? And there's nobody. Yeah. There's literally no better 3-and-D guy in the league than Klay Thompson because he's way more than that, right?
I'm not bragging on the Warriors. The Warriors
starting five.
And by the way, I'm not mad at
the Warriors. Starting five would
either.
Win the Golden Olympics easily. They would destroy Team USA. They would destroy anybody.
I mean, I think they did. I think the last team was those five guys.
No, I think four of the five were, actually. I think you're right. You know, there's a lot of places we can place the blame. We can place the blame with the union when they, you know, didn't smooth out the cap.
I don't blame the Warriors at all. The commissioner and the union botched this. I mean, every team is supposed
Boogie,
to try
and be good.
What's
a Boogie's bullshit excuse? Sorry, we're supposed to talk about LeBron. I forgot. Let's go back to LeBron for a second now. Okay.
We could talk about everyone, but I don't buy for a second that not one team offered.
No, of course, that's a lie. He signs the second day of free agency.
$5 million.
He signed literally the second day. Like, there's not even possible for teams to talk to him. It's ridiculous.
I wonder if he thinks, like, oh, I'm not even going to play, but, like, this gives me 2 more months.
Honestly, I have no fault. We want everybody to be Michael Jordan. Everybody's not Michael Jordan. What's wrong with getting paid $5 million a year to hang out with your buddies, be with the best people in the world, automatically go to the finals, get almost guaranteed a ring? You're still making $5 million. Like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. No, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong with it.
Does it make him more of a man to sign for $20 million with a mediocre team and win 44 games? Like, what's the point of that?
No, I have no respect for LaMarcus Aldridge, who wants to be the best player on a bad team. He doesn't want to waste the summers being in the playoffs, Ronnie Cycli style. And he's happy to get a lot of usage and to put up 25 and 9 every night and take his 19-foot 2s. And, you know, when he's hot, no one can guard him. But, like, he has no problem. If LaMarcus Aldridge had any self-respect, he'd be demanding a trade today. Because why does he want to be on this garbage team?
Well, I don't know if you call him a garbage team. They also won 40-something games in the stacked West without Kawhi last year. So, in theory, if...
Yeah, but they have no hope. If Kawhi is gone, they have a 0% chance of making
the finals.
Again,
this is a team that is a middle-of-the-West team in the playoffs without Kawhi. You're trading Kawhi for some value. You can only go up. They're not going to win a title, but nobody's going to win a title. But, you know.
Here's another hot take. Unless they could get an absolute stud, a person who is almost definitely going to be an all-star, I would not trade Kawhi. I would make him play for you, and if he sits out, you know, fight with the league about who pays what, and then maybe reconsider
trading. You wouldn't
trade
him for Fultz and Covington?
No, you not even. Trade him for, I wouldn't even consider.
Well, okay,
we'll
get the wrong one to ask.
I wouldn't
because you're
consider
living on another
it.
Planet about Kawhi's value. But
no, I'm no. I will make my case. I wouldn't consider trading it because Fultz is probably not going to be an all-star. He's not a tanking guy. I'd rather tank than have B plus players. Do you realize in this league the only thing that matters is the 20 best players? No one else
matters.
Julius Randle has Hall of Fame comps. He just got cut the other day. He was available for $12.
The Lakers are doing completely idiotic things. That's number one. Number two, nobody has any money.
He's like a 23-year-old kid putting up 20 and 10, he was basically available.
He put up 16 and 8. Let's not exaggerate, but
in 20 minutes a game, Chester. I'm not joking. Look it up. He did not play a lot of minutes. He's a 20 and 10 and 36 minutes guy who was available for a nickel.
Nobody wanted him in a stacked draft. Fultz went number one overall over multiple All Stars over guys who people and people did not think it was a terrible pick at the time. Okay.
No, nobody thought it was
a terrible. So for you to conclude a year later that there's no chance that he could become a top 10, top 20 player, I think is a little bit premature.
How about this? The Sixers have had him in their system for a year. If they're willing to trade him, and I don't mean for Kawhi, because Kawhi...
Yeah, first of all, they're not... I mean,
but in general, if they're...
I was arguing with my Sixers
fans. If they're considering trading him, the Sixers fans are...
They're on another planet.
They're
completely right.
And by the way, God bless them. Them or Boston is going to be in the
Here's my take. My take is the Philadelphia 76ers have to get Kawhi Leonard. They have to. And the reason I say that is because the Sixers are like number two in the East behind Boston, but the gap is only going to grow because, for sure, Embiid, if he ever stays healthy, and Simmons are going to get better, but the Celtics are also going to get better, and the Celtics have more assets. The Celtics have, Tatum, they have Brown, they have picks. The only chance the Sixers have to leapfrog them is to make a huge move like acquiring Kawhi, and then you acquire Kawhi, you instantly become the favorite in the East, and you probably go to the finals this year, and you increase your chance of keeping Kawhi long-term from 0%, like right now there's a 0% chance he signs with Philadelphia in the summer 2019, to who knows, 5%, 10%, 20%, Paul George just did in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Right? So if I...
And by the way, Philly's not a bad spot for Kawhi because it's not...
Yeah, he thinks
he's going
to
like LA.
He thinks he wants to go back to LA. Maybe he just misses being in a big city, period. Right? He's lived in L.A.
Right.
And
I don't think... And he went to college in San Diego State, which
is basically
close
LA.
Enough to L.A. No, he went to much more than 1 year of college. Yeah. I think he went
San Diego is a suburb of L.A. It's Southern California.
Yeah, drivable. But the media pressure, while bad, is not... It's not L.A.
Nobody in
New York.
Cares
not
about sports,
I could ever step foot in New York. But you said that you're speaking to Sixers fans that wouldn't trade Fultz for Kawhi. Do you understand that even if you're high in Fultz, a lot of people, you might not think this, but a lot of people thought Kawhi was the second best player in the NBA in the 2017 playoffs. Yeah. He annihilated James Harden in a playoff series and was embarrassing Kevin Durant in one game. And had destroyed, single-handedly gone into Golden State earlier in the year and beaten the Warriors on his own by 30. Okay, and then they're up 25 in Golden State late in the third quarter game
you,
one. And Zaza
Pachulia
changes
peak,
the entire
player.
Complexion
first
of the
all,
history of the NBA. The biggest what if, rewrite your book. What's the slant guy? What's the slate guy who's on our podcast?
Pesca.
Rewrite your book. Biggest what if in the history of the NBA is stupid Zaza falling on Kawhi's foot. The Spurs win that series probably in five. I'll give the Warriors a game. They beat the Cavs, obviously. LeBron has one good game. And then
LeBron joins.
And then the Spurs win the championship. Yeah. Maybe LeBron joins the Spurs. People were definitely talking about that as like the Spurs were one of the five or six finalists at the beginning of the year. They, let's just say, didn't get a meeting.
All right. So
Zach Lowe said you have a player like Kawhi, you could go 20 to 30 years without having a player like as good as Kawhi on your team, which obviously is true. There are plenty of teams around the league. Denver has not had a player nearly as good as Kawhi in 30 years. Portland has not had a player as good as Kawhi in 30 years. There's a million teams, Atlanta, there's a million teams around the league that have not had a player on Kawhi's planet in 30 years. And I've never had a bad Spurs team other than the one year where you knew that they were tanking. You didn't know. The truth is there was a big fear that year that they would get Van Horn. So you didn't really know that they were tanking for Duncan. Like the Nets could have easily.
What were they? A 1-4 chance of getting the number one pick at the most? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's the number the worst team gets. I don't remember if the Spurs or the Nets had the worst record. But anyway, I mean, this is depressing. I'm not going to like be a front runner and stop rooting for them. But these Spurs fans need to check their privilege and like, we've won five championships. So like, it's okay if we're bad. But people like convincing themselves like that they're going to be competent because what they call PATFO, pop in the front office, are going to, like, they'll fix it. Like, no, they won't. Unless they magically invent another Kawhi out of thin air. Like, you're just irrelevant. There's 25 teams in the NBA that might as well shut it down now. Like, what are the freaking Cavs going to do this year? Like, why would someone go to a Cavs game?
Yeah, I mean, the Cavs are irrelevant for the next 20 years. It's how I felt after, like, KG left the Timberwolves. The Cavs are.
I do think LeBron comes back at like age 39 for.
He
like
does,
one
but
last
but by then he wants to play with his son, doesn't he?
Yeah, LeBron and Bronny right, Jr.
So
although maybe they'll be like.
All right, LA so let's come back
then.
To the Lakers. All right, so actually let's take a step back. So first of all, before LeBron comes out and announces,
let's go back to James.
LeBron says he's coming. Before LeBron says he's coming to the Lakers, Magic Johnson gave that insane press conference last week. Do you remember that one?
There's like legitimately a dozen crazy people associated with the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's really
like
wonderful.
Magic Johnson is
nuts. Jeannie Buss is
Magic
a lunatic.
Johnson is a charismatic leader. There's no question. One of the greatest best players of all time, and an astute businessman. I give him all that. But when he was an announcer on ESPN and ABC, he never really struck me as his basketball analytical skills being all that great. And he gives this ridiculous interview where he's like, if I don't get a star, now he might have just known LeBron was coming, so it didn't matter. But he's like, if I don't get a star, you can fire me. And then they said, do you feel like there's pressure on you? And then he says, I played against Larry Bird in the finals. Why would I have pressure on me? Like, what? What? What does that have to do with anything? Like,
no, it's insane.
Like, does J.R. Smith say, like, I played against Kevin Durant? It was like a completely idiotic comment. And like, it made me realize, and I get like, this is a guaranteed thing. I'm going to offend everybody. I understand that. But Magic Johnson is Donald Trump. Okay.
Oh boy. Oh my God. I don't even.
That comment. I understand that comment.
But he has so much substance.
That comment has a 0% approval rating. I understand that.
Yeah. Then why say it? Well, you might have to take this out.
Why? Because I call Trump supporters racist? All right, hold on. Okay, let me defend the comparison. All right, start off. Okay, early in their careers, both among the greatest of all time in popular American traditions. For Magic, it's basketball. For Trump, it's nepotism and bigotry. Okay, if you're telling me that at some point in the 1980s, Magic and Trump did not have a threesome with a chick together. Like, let's be honest, they were running in the same circles. Okay, this all has to come out. All right. Well, let's move on. But anyways, the point is that I don't really understand. Like, everybody's saying, like, oh, the reason LeBron goes to the Lakers is because, like, Magic can understand him. Like, LeBron doesn't need somebody to understand him.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, LeBron at this point should be, like, the coach. LeBron's going to get Luke Walton fired and, like,
LeBron did not make this decision for basketball reasons. LeBron made this decision because he's for family reasons, for personal reasons, which is totally fine. Like, you know, I don't live in where I live for professional reasons. I don't have a problem with that. But he clearly made the wrong decision from a basketball perspective. He has then 8 years in a row going to the finals. That's completely shot. They have no chance. And then to double up, they start like every move they made was a disastrous move. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I like that move. He's 3-and-D. That's fine. I mean, they paid him a lot, but who cares? But then they signed Rajon Rondo, who's arguably the worst shooter in the league. Like, LeBron doesn't need a point guard who's going to hold the ball. LeBron needs a guy who's going to hit an open three, right?
He does not need a point guard who's going to hold the ball because that's a useless player on the team.
I mean, are they going to start Rondo and Ball? Is that going to be the worst shooting backcourt in, like, the history of the league? What are they doing?
Unless, like, they know that they're going to trade Lonzo. Well, here's my question. Let's make a fake trade for Kawhi.
They have to be.
How about this? No. The Spurs won't. Here's the problem. The Spurs, there's no way the Spurs will let LeVar Ball in the city. So and now let me ask you a question. These crazy Sixers fans, would they do some sort of Ball for Fultz trade if the Lakers gave them a
So they take a mulligan on last year's draft, basically.
Yeah, they flip their problems.
But see, the thing is, I don't think
the Sixers, there's no reason for the Sixers to do that, right?
And they don't need Lonzo Ball either. Like, they have Ben Simmons at the point who's, you know, the next Magic and also can't shoot. They need J.J. Redick.
Do you think the Lakers would offer Ball, Ingram, and Kuzma for Kawhi?
No.
Probably
no
not, right?
You're not getting all three of those. That's crazy.
But then how do you get him? Like, Ingram and Ball isn't enough.
Of course it's enough. You're going to lose the guy for nothing in 10 months from now.
That's my point. I'd rather, first of all, I don't even think they'll offer Ingram and Ball.
Oh,
like,
no, they won't.
Ingram and Kuzma or whatever, like, Don't just say no, the Spurs. Like, let Kawhi play for you, and maybe his heart softens at some point. Like, nobody on earth thought Paul George would stay with OKC, and he did. What if the Spurs say, you know what? What Tony Parker said, that his injury, that he ruptured Achilles, and you had a boo-boo, that his Achilles rupture was much worse than yours, was totally wrong, and we are going to...
No. This horse is out of the barn. No, there's no way you're not getting Kawhi back.
And we promise not to retire his jersey. By the way, here's Tony Parker's legacy as a Spur. Getting benched in his first championship in the fourth quarter.
Sleeps with Brent Barry's wife.
Speedy Claxton to finish out the game.
Embraces an anti-Semite.
Salutes a Holocaust-denying Nazi. And now gets the best player in team history.
So you're finally on my side that Tony Parker's overrated.
Yeah, Tony Parker is like a sleeper cell. Like,
well, he brought you four titles, so it was okay.
Yeah, he brought him and he.
If he's a sleeper cell, he's
a couple of them.
Like, he did a really bad job.
I feel bad because, like, Manu is like the best guy, and Tony is the worst guy. I do think they're gonna, even though Manu's like 41 and Parker's only like 34, and as we know, short point guards have basically become useless in their mid-30s, but. But I have no problem keeping Manu, whether you're Tang or not, and giving him 12 minutes a game. But I don't want to see Parker's face again.
It's funny you haven't turned on Kawhi again. At all. Like, you think Kawhi is totally innocent here? He's bashed.
No, I don't think Kawhi is innocent.
I think you're different from most Spurs fans because you're not from San Antonio. So somebody like personally insulting the city of San Antonio doesn't affect you exactly. Like, if a guy insults,
I don't care when Charles Barkley calls the women.
If a guy insults
fat,
Minneapolis, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want you. But you don't really care if a guy insults San Antonio. You just like the Spurs.
Well, what about in a few weeks when you're not really a Minneapolis in anymore?
What do you mean? When my parents are no longer there?
Yeah, when your parents are no longer there.
All right. So then Sammy Chester posts a comment, asks you and I if the LeBron deal's a bad deal because he's committed to 3 years or with a fourth year player option, and maybe he'll be bad by the end of that.
It's a risk you have to take.
Well, it's not even a risk because that's what you're saying. Like, if there's no cap and there's no luxury tax, LeBron could make $200 million a year. So $154 million for 1 year is a great steal, let alone for 4 years, right? So
I mean, I said this to you, but like, the only time I ever gotten Bill Simmons' mailbag, I emailed him and said, like, after the decision, shouldn't LeBron have gotten like a 10 or 12 year deal for $1 billion, like the first ever $1 billion contract? And he said, no, that's $750.
Yeah, that's wrong.
And to me. In hindsight, LeBron was worth it.
Well, no. But the smart move for LeBron to do would be to take a new contract every year so that you get the top of the market, right? You don't want to be like an Aaron Rodgers where you set the record and then 6 years later you're stuck on this terrible contract.
Yeah. I mean, listen, LeBron's employer is Nike.
So anyways, I went through my top 25 players of all time. I looked at the last age, the last year at which they were an MVP, like an MVP candidate, like a top five player in the league. So LeBron just finished his age 33 season. It's not crazy. So Jordan was done at 34, although he retired. Who knows? You know, he might have been able to last a little bit longer. Wilt went till 36. Kareem went till 38. Kareem is like an insane person. He's not normal. Bill Russell, 32. Obviously, we're comparing a guy 50 years ago to a different position, but fine. He's done at 32. Shaq, 32. Duncan, here's an interesting case. Duncan's last MVP season was at age 30. Then he was still a good player. He was still an all-star, but he was no longer like an elite player after 30, which is pretty young, until at 36. He came out of nowhere and had another monster season at 36. Magic's done at 31. Obviously, there's an exception there. Oscar Robertson, 29. Bird, 31. Hakeem, 34. Which is, you know, reasonably old. Malone, who is a crazy person, 37. And everybody else is 33 or younger. Kobe, 30. Jerry West, 34. Julius Erving, 33. Kevin Garnett, 31. Moses Malone, 29. David Robinson, 32. Bob Pettit, 31. Dirk, 32. Barkley, 31. Chris Paul, 29. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, it is true to say that for LeBron to still be a top five player in the league past age 33 is something that only like two or three guys in the league have really ever done. But LeBron is already somebody that, like, LeBron's already the greatest of all time. So, like, him continuing to do greatest of all time things shouldn't surprise us.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you put our teams together, and by the way, both of our teams were in the playoffs in the West, wouldn't matter. They'd be lucky to win a playoff series.
It's depressing because from my team's perspective, you know, we won 47, 48 games with Butler missing a big chunk of the season. You figure we're coming back. I mean, even Simmons said on his podcast, he has the Timberwolves as fourth or fifth in the West right now. But what value does that have? Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, we win in the first, and this is assuming that Jimmy Butler makes up with Kat and Tibbs and all the internal combustion that's going on in that team right now. Best case scenario, they all make up, they kiss and tell, we win 52 games.
Well, best case scenario, you start like 2-8, Tibbs gets fired.
We win a first round series, and then we lose to Golden State in 4, and we lose each game by 76 points. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Now, by the way, I would sign up.
I do
like for that today if you gave me that as an option.
Oh, sure. You'd love to win a playoff series. I do love also, like, the Warriors are, like, not going to try at all in October, November, December. Yeah. They're going to be, like, 12-7, and people are like, see, they're not good. And then there's going to be, like, a game that matters. They're going to win, like, 152-60, and people are like, oh,
the worst thing that ever happened, and obviously I was rooting for the Cavs that season, but the worst thing that ever happened was the Warriors not winning at all the season they set the record, the same way with the Patriots in their 16-0 season, because then it leads idiots to think, oh, yeah, it was the pressure of, the, like, you shouldn't try and set the record. Like, no, of course you should. You know what's not impressive, Warriors? Being lazy, winning 57 games, and then cruising through the playoffs. Like, that sucks. There's nothing historical or impressive about that. I want to see them go balls to the wall with their five superstars every single night. I want to see them go 78-4.
And by the way, you could literally rest one of those guys every
night. They went 73-9 without Kevin Durant, the second best player in the league, and without Boogie Cousins, the second best big guy in the league. Like, they could win 78 games. They really could.
Well, remember, Boogie's really probably not going to play before the All-Star break. Like, there's no reason.
Yeah, but he could. Like, on another team, he could. Yeah. No,
it's crazy.
He's gonna play.
It's crazy how fast Parker and
Boogie's gonna play 45 games. He's gonna put up like 17-9, right? And then he'll sign a big contract next offseason when there's more cap room for a bunch of teams. He'll sign with the Lakers.
I would have loved to see Boogie in San Antonio. I'd like to see Pop interact with them.
There was a split second where people were talking about LeBron really liking Pop. Maybe he goes to San Antonio. That did not happen. Sorry about that.
Yeah, Pop being named the Olympic coach didn't really.
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know, LeBron and Kawhi obviously would still get killed by Golden State, but I would like, there has to be some kind of competition.
They were not going to get killed. If you have the two best players on the court, you win. No team in NBA history has ever lost the finals where they.
That's not true. The 2004 Lakers ran off the floor by the Pistons.
That's true. That team was literally a corpse. Yeah. That team was a corpse by the.
Everybody was injured. Everybody else was healthy. Kobe and Shaq were healthy. They just hated each other.
No, Peyton wasn't.
Okay,
was
but who cared about
then.
Peyton at that point? All right, what about the 2011 Heat had Wade and LeBron, who were both better than Dirk. Now, Dirk, I'd play them in the finals, but, you know. Dirk was past his prime. I mean, that season really, LeBron's, I mean, you know, with all the LeBron haters.
But that is also the biggest upset of the last, that's like the one NBA finals where it's like, oh, yeah, the best team clearly didn't win. That's the only time you could say that. Like, the Spurs and the Heat were basically even. The top, you know, the Spurs should have won that series, but those teams
The Cavs coming back in 2016 against the Warriors is pretty freaking impressive.
Yeah.
All right, so basketball is going to be, there's not a lot of drama about the ultimate winner.
The NBA is an off-season sport. The NBA off-season is a billion times better than any other sport's off-season, but it is an off-season sport. It is a sport for Woj and for Shams and for Summer League is even fun. People are, by the way, if you live tweet Summer League, you are getting muted. Like, do not live tweet Summer League.
There's a lot of people doing it, though.
Although, maybe that's the last. There's a lot. Yeah, the beat writers all do that. I mean, listen, they love the free trip to Vegas. That's like the best part of their job.
I have a friend who's going to Vegas for Summer League this week. Next week, excuse me.
Is it Bill Simmons? Because he's bringing the entire ringer. They're gonna talk about billions.
Somebody in my circle
league.
Of work. He's got a hob and knob with some NBA folks. So.
Okay. But you're not important enough.
No.
To go.
Also, it was 100 degrees here the last couple days. I can't even imagine what it's like in Vegas.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No,
I mean, nobody in Vegas ever goes outside unless they're drunken by the pool. But still.
You know, I've still never been to Vegas, but we have said. I thought we moved it up from 40 to 35, but from 40. For our 40th birthday, we are going to we're bringing all our listeners to Vegas with us.
Meaning you and me. Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a big, we have to be around for 5 more years. Like, if you saw how many wings I ate tonight, like, there's definitely.
Yeah, I'm
no
already
guarantee.
35, so I don't be need around to. What do I have to look forward to? I'm eligible to run for president, right? That's a perk. What else do I have? What's the next big birthday I have? It's Social Security.
I could see you. Would you ever run for office? I could see you be a politician.
This podcast would really help that plan.
No. Yeah, we might have to delete a bunch of episodes. But serious, would you ever do it? If someone's like, hey, we want you to run, like the Tea Party's really missing some candidates.
Yeah, would could I be a sleeper cell for them?
Well, but seriously,
idea in the summer of 2004. I think today it could work because I think Donald Trump would actually retweet me. But I think in 2004, Republicans weren't quite crazy enough, even though like back then they had the Swift boats and all that. But I was joking with somebody and I said, what if John Kerry? So, you know, Teresa Hines Kerry was John Kerry's wife, was her second husband. Her first husband was John Hines, this rich Republican who was from like the Hines ketchup fortune. He dies in like a plane crash, and then she ends up marrying a Democratic senator, John Kerry. So I said, what if there's a conspiracy where John Kerry somehow engineered that plane crash so that John Hines would get killed so that he could marry her, collect all the money? And I remember...
This is like the Alex Jones podcast.
But my friend said to me, he's like, you should like totally like write like a little like 75-page book about that and get it published by some Rush Limbaugh type. I feel like...
Oh, you could for sure go on with Joe Rogan with that theory.
Well, except that Joe Rogan probably doesn't know who John Kerry is, but yeah. But if 2016 politics or 2018 politics were transplants back to 2004, that would have been a good.
No one would blink. Like back in the day, that would have.
Yeah. Trump would have said like during one of the debates, like although Trump's not one to talk about ex-wives, I guess. But although nothing's ever stopped him before, so. All right, so this podcast, you know, we had another idea for what we were going to do for the remainder of the NFL offseason, and we still will. But there's so much going on between World Cup excitement and NBA, you know. Ending that we had to address those hot topic issues, I think.
Do you want to say what we're doing? I'm very excited about the plan for next week and probably the next month and something that we will probably do a lot over the next couple of years.
What, the definitive history?
Yeah, we're starting a series on 32 Fans called The Definitive History of the NFL. It's already mostly written, episode one. We're starting with 1960, which is when the AFL begins. There are 9 expansion teams in
1960. We do not care about the first 40 years of the NFL.
No, I think if people like this, eventually, we will, because it's called The Definitive History, we will go backwards and do, I don't know, about year by year, but we will talk about 1920 to 1959.
Listen, I want to know, I want to hear us talk about like Spec Sanders and, you know, Bronco Nagurski and some of those.
Yeah, no, 1958 is a pivotal year, obviously. The seminal game, maybe in league history. But
did your grandfather
really
watch
where
that
the
game?
Begins. It's where. Oh, I'm sure. Or I mean, maybe listened on the radio. Yeah. I don't know, like the TV specifics, but
wasn't
definitely.
That the game that?
But you know, my grandfather. Yeah. Oh yeah, made it popular. I mean, it's that's
no, but
literally
I'm saying even on TV
episode,
yeah.
But. Yes, I don't. I can ask.
Was it? Was it? You know, like so. The first Super Bowl was aired on multiple channels. Was that? Would that game have been on multiple channels? Or I guess the first Super Bowl was on multiple channels because the NFL and the AFL had two different like agreements, right?
Yeah, it was because the ABC and CBS each had the rights. I'll ask him. You know, it's funny because people always say like, "Ooh, when you're older, you're going to tell your grandchildren about Mike Trout." And like our grandchildren, if we start talking about Mike Trout, they're going to like press a button and mute us forever. Like they're going to like throw us down a garbage chute. Like nobody's going to care. Now, my grandfather has the one grandson who will like happily ask him like, hey, you know, that Joe Frazier fight you saw in Yankee Stadium in 1942? Like, tell me about it. What were tickets? Like 5 cents? But the thing is, when you speak to a grandparent about that, like you have to be ready for a half hour answer. If you ask him about like, did you watch the 1958 Colts
so every grandfather
game.
Is basically me now, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, totally. Now, my grandfather, I don't think we're going to get into this next week. But my grandfather, the New York Jets start as the Titans of New York in 1960. He was not a Jets / Titans fan in 60 or even when they switched, 62, 63. He did not become a Jets fan. He's a front runner until they signed Joe Namath, until they draft Joe Namath in December of 64 for the 65 season.
Was he a fan of those?
And then he's like, all right, I'm going to be a Jets fan. Well, I don't know. I don't think he had a team. It's weird because he's been a baseball atheist for like 60-something years, because when the Giants left town, he did not follow them to San Francisco. He was a New York Giants fan. He grew up right near...
But why didn't he adopt the Mets the way most Giants...
Was it Polo Grounds or Ebbets Field? I'm Ebbets Field. Ebbets Field is the Giants. Polo Grounds... Ebbets Field is the Dodgers. Polo Grounds is the Giants. I once said, hey, Grandpa, were you a Dodgers fan or a Giants fan when you were growing up in the 30s and 40s? He's like, Louie. He calls me Louie. That's my dad's name. Sometimes he forgets. And he's done that since he was young. He's like, Louie, I was not nearly dumb enough to be a Dodgers fan. Like, he still hates anyone who roots for the Dodgers and like will speak slower to them. And he hates anybody who went to Stuyvesant, because he went to Bronx Science. So anybody who went to Stuyvesant is still like
big rivals.
Still like the cops then. Oh, yeah. Okay. So next week, first episode. I don't know if we are going to do like a season at a time or if we should do an era. 1960 is more than enough to pack an episode. It's going to be a long episode, probably.
1960, by the way, also the only episode in which I can't discuss the Vikings. So.
That's true. That is true. Well, yes, the Vikings don't start till 61, but they will be spoken about a lot. They're in my notes. I went back. I've read books already. I watched like AFL documentaries. I have a lot of information. The Vikings come up a lot in 1960, as you'll see.
In 61, you mean?
The
60.
No. You'll see.
Oh, yeah, because
they're,
talk.
They're important.
Here's a random thing. So there's a park in Minneapolis called Candlestick Park, or in St. Louis Park, actually. And they built it. They were going to build a stadium there to try and recruit the Giants, actually, the New York baseball Giants. Now, the part I never understood.
And this is when the Giants were going to move to San Francisco?
Yeah, now the part I never understood, this is in like the late 50s. The part I never understood about that is, why was it called Candlestick? Yeah. Like, was the rule of Major League Baseball wherever they move, you have to call it Candlestick? Like, I've never understood that part of the story.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an answer if you Google it, but I don't care enough to Google. I think episode 2 will probably be 1961, 1965, which would probably be the biggest chunk of any time we do. I think most of them will probably be 2 or 3 seasons, and the really big seasons will get their own episode. But I'm excited about that. If you have any ideas, things you want to hear about from the definitive history of the NFL, let us know. And I'm curious to see how the feedback for that will be next week. But anyway,
I wouldn't assume it's
fun.
Happening
we
next week. Like, you know, if Kawhi gets traded and there's some bonkers thing happens between Brazil and Belgium or England and Sweden or something, you know, we might have to...
I think we still should release the next episode next week. Worst comes worst, we do 2 episodes. We got nothing else going on.
I did want to have Simon, our guest, come back on to give like an instant reaction. But again, we recorded this literally the moment that game ended, and he's probably, you know, just...
It's useless for the quarterfinals, but maybe for the semifinals or the finals, we could have. It would be fun to have an English fan.
They'd have to win again, but yeah.
Mine eyes have seen the glory. I don't want England to win. I want the United States to win a World Cup for England. I mean, I know they've won one, but not in our lifetime. I want the United States to win one. 2026, we're winning.
So you've already given up on 2022?
Home World Cup. Nobody. Yeah, we're not going to Qatar and winning. No way.
It really is incredible. I mean, if you look at the history of the World Cup, like, home teams, like, they do so much better. It's like the home field advantage must be really something in the World Cup. You know, France's only win is in France.
I mean, South Africa's the only team to not make it, and South Africa's not even close to making the World Cup nowadays. Like, South Korea made the semifinals.
Yeah. Incredible.
So, the thing is that a lot of, like, Mexico's also going to win.
But it was sort of automatic historically that, you know, when it was in South America, when it was in... when it was in South or North America, the South American teams would win. When it was in Europe, the European teams would win.
Yes.
Germany, and by the way, when it was on German soil in 2006, not even making the final. Just a huge disgrace for the Germans, probably. Now, they made up for it, obviously.
But then Brazil, they sort of earned it back. Yeah. But Brazil losing 7-1.
Yeah, that was a little bit worse.
Much worse. The 1994 American team, they had guys who were not pro soccer players. And they made it out of their group. I mean, it was very fluky. They had an own goal. 3 teams made it out of 4. But still, like, and they gave
should
Brazil a pretty
not
decent
to be
game
too dark, but should any of
loss.
The Colombian players be worried about going home this week after? Like, the guys who
they've moved on big time as a country. I feel like, by the way, that's an underrated story. The player,
Escobar?
An overreported story. Like, he got into a fight with a guy.
Oh, he deserved it.
I did yell goal every time he shot him. No, I'm just saying, like, they had a fight. it wasn't like, I don't believe it was an assassination. Like, they had a fight, and then he shot him, and he yelled goal every time he shot him. But it wasn't like, oh, this guy gave up an own goal, I'm going to murder him. It wasn't like that.
Okay, so you're arguing that he would have been murdered anyway.
No, I'm saying he only got murdered because he got...
Yeah, so I'm saying, so he would have... Yeah, so, like, so you're saying that him giving up the own goal was not the cause of his murder. Fake news.
I mean, I think maybe it was a guy starting up with a celebrity. Like, this is a famous guy, and you know what I mean? Like, it's some drunk guy in a parking lot. Like, oh, you think you're tough? That's my
impression. Pour one out for Mr. Escobar.
Pablo.
No, not Pablo. The other one. The good one. The soccer player.
Why not Pablo? Did you ever see the movie The Two Escobars? Pour one out for both of them.
The what? The mass murdering gangster?
You're so judgmental. I'm afraid of summer. I get lost in the water when the tide pulls me in. I'm afraid of summer, 'cause you know I can't swim. I get lost in the water when the tide pulls me in.
Down the stairs.